हरि ओम। इट इज अ प्रिविलेज ब्लेसिंग फॉर अस टू वेलकम स्वामी अपराजिता नंदजी। आई जस्ट स्टार्ट बाय इनवोकिंग भगवान ग्रेस पूज्य गुरुदेव स्वामी चिन्मयानंद जी, पूज्य मुख्य स्वामी स्वरूपानंद जी एंड पूज्य अपराजिता नंदजी, ब्लेसिंग्स ऑन ऑल ऑफ अस फॉर दिस डिस्कोर्स। जस्ट अ ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट स्वामी जी। Swamiji was born in Kerala but spent several years traveling to various states. In his school years, his father was in the army, and then afterwards he settled in Bangalore, where he finished his engineering and communications degree in University of Bangalore. After that, he was teaching in Bangalore for 5 years, and in those years, Swamiji was exposed to the teachings of Vedanta by Pujya Gurudev, and then Swami Mitrananda Ji and Swami Brahmananda. Swami Brahmananda Ji, we all know because we listen to his chanting. And after that, within 4 or 5 years, Swami left everything and joined the course in Mumbai, where he studied with Pujya Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda Ji. And then he was posted in different centers in India. And in 2018, Swami was given Sannyas Diksha. And now, for the past few months, Swamiji is in Yamnotri in Chicago, which is one of the centers of the Chicago Jnana Mission. And Swamiji is very fluent in multiple languages. Knowledge of Vedanta is extensive, as we will see. And we are really grateful to Swamiji for having flown all the way from Chicago and come to bless us for the whole week. Swamiji will be talking in the daytime also, 11:30 to 12:30. Those of you who can come, please come. He's very gentle from Kathopanishad. And in the evening, he will do selected topics from Bhagavad Gita, Tuesday to Saturday. And then Sunday, Swamiji will be talking to the adults and to the Bal Vihar parents from 11 to 12:30. So please attend. Thank you, Swamiji. Hari Om. Yeah, please turn off your cell phone. Thank you. कृष्ण कृष्ण मनमोहन चित्तचोरा गोपी जीवनम् कृष्ण कृष्ण मनमोहन चित्तचोरा गोपी जीवनम् वेणुधारी जगन्
ब्रजवासी नंद नंदन।
ब्रजवासी
वेणुधारी जगन ब्रजवासी नंद नंदन। कृष्ण कृष्णावनम मोहनम्, चित्तचोरा गोपी जीवनम्। मेघश्यामा मधुसूदना, राधाकांता यदुनंदना। मेघश्यामा मधुसूदना, राधाकांता यदुनंदना। कृष्ण कृष्णावनम् चित्तचोरा गोपी जीवनम्। ॐ यं ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्रमृगः सुन्वन्ति साङ्गपदब्रह्मोपनिषदे गायन्ति यं सामगाः मनसा रचयन्ति यं योगिनः। यस्यान्तं एवं The prostrations for all of you. So in the evenings, we'll be taking different topics from Bhagavad Gita. So we have 6 days, so six different topics. So today, we are going to take up the topic conquering the wild mind. So, what is the nature of this mind? Chanchalam himana krishna pramati paradradham tasyaham nigraham manye ayuriva sudushtaram. So, this is the definition of the mind. Arjuna says, Bhagavan, nigraham dushkaram. Conquering this mind is literally impossible. Why? Because this is the nature of the mind. Chanchalam pramati balavat and drudham. Four terms are used to describe our mind. What is the first one? Chanchalam. Not just chalam. Cham is also added. Extremely fickle. Chalam means fickle. Chanchalam means extremely fickle. Extremely fickle means what? Very difficult. Place the mind in one place. Very difficult to concentrate. Constantly one thought after another. Mind is busy jumping from one topic to another. So those who meditate, they will know. Those who never meditate, they will never know. They will never even know that there is something called mind. Okay. To know all this, you have to look within. What is happening inside? People who are busy in the outer world, they will never know anything about the inner world. To know the inner world, you have to peek within. This is what we do in meditation. That topic will come later. So number one, chanchalam, extremely fickle. Number two, so, what is the helplessness we see there in chanchala? We are unable to concentrate. The inability to concentrate, this helplessness, this slavery, this bondage we experience. The second one is pramadhi. Madhana means journey. Pramadhana means what? So everywhere that suffix is added to show that it is very intense. Pramadhana. That mind churns us, agitates us. So what is the helplessness there? You see, disturbance of the mind is directly connected to our negative thoughts. Wherever thoughts are negative, mind will be disturbed. Wherever our thinking is right, mind will be peaceful. This is the law. As your thoughts, so will be the state of your mind. If our thoughts are good, noble, and fine, thoughts are negative in your mind will be disturbed. So pramati means I want a peaceful mind. So therefore, what should I do? Peace is the effect No, it has to be a cause. What is the cause? Right thinking is the cause. Noble thinking is the cause. If I can ensure noble thinking, my being is I'm not able to think positive, good, noble. And therefore, what happens? Mind forcefully thinks something negative. And because of that negative thoughts, I experience worry, anxiety, tension, stress. That is what is pramadhan. I don't want disturbance, but I am helplessly doing things which will ultimately disturb the mind. So what is the helplessness there? Helplessness in entertaining good, noble thoughts. Helplessness in curtailing, stopping negative thoughts. So, chanchalam, pramathi, the third one is balavat, very strong. I know that certain things, if the mind goes there, it will disturb the mind. But I am unable to prevent the mind from going to such places, from entertaining such thoughts. I know, but I am helpless in preventing the mind from going into such places. Why? Because the mind is very strong. It drags me. There are certain regrets of the past. I know if I start thinking about this subject, I will get disturbed, but I am helpless. The mind goes there, thinks of it, and my life becomes miserable. And the fourth one, dhrudham. Dhrudham means stubborn, firm, strong. So mind is thinking about something. I want the mind to come back. But I am not able to withdraw the mind from such feelings. You see? Helplessness in withdrawing the mind. So what is the first one? Chanchalam. Unable to concentrate. I am helpless in making the mind focus upon one topic, one subject. Chanchalam pramadhi. I am incapable of ensuring that the thoughts are good and noble. Balavat. I am incapable of preventing the mind from going into unwanted, polluting. And dhrudham. Even when the mind is there, I am unable to withdraw the mind. So Bhagavan, this is the nature of a mind. Tasya nigraham dushkar. Very, very difficult. How difficult is it? Bhagavan, literally impossible. Just like conquering the wind. Vayu eva. What is the example given? Like vayu, wind. So our mind is compared with wind. So what are the common features? Number one, mind cannot be seen through our eyes, through our senses. Wind also cannot be seen. And anything unseen is difficult to conquer. Right? Unseen nature. Number two, mind blows in all directions. Wind also goes in all directions. I mean, goes in all directions. Just like mind, you can't predict where it will go. And number three, wind is very strong. So whenever the hurricane and storms, etc., come, in spite of all our modern technology, we are not able to stop it. We only say, we can give warning. See, it is coming. Give way. very strong. In the same way, the mind is also strong. So Bhagavan Pushkara. So what is Bhagavan's answer? Asamshayam Mahabhavo Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tukanteya Vairagyena Chabrishyate. Bhagavan says, Arjuna, you are right. Asamshayam. Undoubtedly, you are right. Hey, Mahabhavo, my Shyam. You are a mighty armed person, but even for you, means whoever that person may be, how much ever great that person may be in the world, successful, powerful, but when it comes to mind, that person is helpless. To put it another way, the one who has conquered the mind is truly powerful, is truly a Mahabhava. The real strength is not conquering some outer enemy. The real strength is conquering this inner instrument called the mind. Asamshayam Mahabhavo Mano Durnigraham. Yes, very difficult to conquer. Chalam. Yes, it is very difficult. Though it is difficult, Arjuna, it is not impossible. Bhagavan, how to do it? Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. It is possible to conquer the mind. So two terms are used, abhyasa and vairagya. So actually speaking, it is vairagya. The abhyasa of vairagya. This is how you have to understand. So this answer is so beautiful because here Bhagavan through one word from Vairagya, he has indicated the problem and he has indicated the solution also. Why is it that the mind is difficult to conquer? Answer is given in this word. How to conquer? Answer is. So Vairagya or Viraga is the answer given. So if Viraga is the solution, what should be the problem? You see the beauty of that answer. Arjuna, mind is chanchalam pramathi balavadridham because of raga. Raga means what? Attachment. So wherever raga is, there mind will behave this way. The greater the intensity of attachment, the greater will be the chanchalatva and all those things. Greater the intensity of raga, greater will be the mind behaving in a fickle way, agitating way, strong way, stubborn way. There is a direct relationship, Arjuna. So therefore, if raga is creating the problem, what should be the solution? Vairagya is the solution. Isn't it? You see? This is jnana marga. Right understanding and right application of knowledge and solving the problem. Not just, you know, blindly doing something with force. No. What is the problem? Where is the problem? Understand the problem and through right knowledge solve it. Now we have to understand how raga is formed in the first place. How did this raga come into place? This has to be understood. How did this attachment come? Did God force it upon me? Or did I cultivate myself? How did this raga gain root in me? This has to be understood. So now the analysis begins. The first is interaction of the sense organs with the sense objects. You can call it karma, performance of action. So when we are performing action, what are we doing? We are interacting with the sense objects. We are interacting with the world. What is interaction with the world? Interaction with the world is nothing but interaction of our sense organs, of course, backed by the mind and intellect. Interaction of sense organs with sense objects. So let us call it karma action. So when karma happens, what happens next? I interact with the sense object. You call it interaction or intelligence or whatever. After interaction, what happens? There is either sukha or dukkha. Sukha means joy. Dukkha means sorrow. So whenever I use sense object, understand, it can be a thing, being or situation. It can be vastu, vyakti or paristhiti. Right? Vishaya. Vishaya. So after interaction, either there is sukha or there is dukkha. So when there is sukha, what is the next thing what happens? Sukha leads to raga. I start liking it. If there is dukkha, it will lead to dvesha. I start hating it. I start disliking it. Anything which gives me joy, I love it. Anything which gives me sorrow, I hate it, dislike it. So see this, karma, sukha dukkha, after that, raga dvesha. So here we'll be using only raga, dvesha is understood. Okay, wherever raga is there, dvesha will be there. They always go together. They are called the pairs of opposite, they always go together. Wherever harsha is there, there will be shoka also. If one thing is capable of giving me harsha, it is capable of giving me equal amount of shoka also. They are the two sides of the same coin. When India lost the match with Australia, so that day, one satsang was there. So in the end, we had a question and answer session. So one person's question was, Swamiji, how to get rid of this sorrow? See, when India was winning, they were enjoying. So I want sukha, but I don't want dukkha. This will never happen. Either you should say, fine, I want sukha, I'm ready to go through dukkha. Or you should say, I neither want this sukha nor the. You can't have one and refuse the other. That's not. And to the extent you enjoyed India's victory, to that extent you will suffer India's defeat also. They go together. Do you want? It's a buy one, get one free. Right. So, karma, then sukha dukha, out of that comes raga-dvesha, out of that what? Now there is likes and dislikes in me. My actions, my future action will be based on these likes and dislikes. This raga-dvesha is what is called as vasana or impression or inclination. Now my future action will be based on this raga-dvesha. Something has given me joy. I liked it. I want more and more of it. Something gave me sorrow. I disliked it. I don't want it. So now the future action will be guided by this raga dvesha. So what is the next step? Raga dvesha prerita karma. Karma, sukha dukha, raga dvesha. What next? Come back. Perform action. Now this action is not based on, you know, anything else. It is based on raga dvesha. Now there is a cycle. It is a vicious cycle. By basic conditioned cycle, the more and more our life is going through the cycle, what happens to Raga Dvesha in us? Becomes very, very strong. Whenever actions are done based on Raga Dvesha, the Raga Dvesha becomes stronger and stronger. It is a law. I start liking tea or coffee. It is nice. First time I did not have an impression. First cup of tea, number of. But slowly over a period of time, on that time, I start taking it regularly. Over a period of time, what happens? Without this tea or coffee, my engine will not start. Who started this? I myself. How? This vicious cycle. It can be a thing, it can be a being, it can be a situation. Now all my actions are driven by likes and dislikes. And to the extent I have this Raga Dvesha ruling my life, to that extent my mind will have these four characteristics. What are they? Chanchalam, Pramadi, Balavat, Drudam. So who has educated the mind to become fickle? Consciously or unconsciously, I have trained the mind. When the mind doesn't get what it wants, it becomes miserable. It becomes stressed, tense, worried. Whenever we get addicted to so many things like smoking and drinks, nowadays the addiction is towards his internet and video games and all kinds of things. Different kinds of addictions. Remember, every time I am addicted to something, I have become a slave. How did I lose my mastership? I was a master, I degraded to the status of a slave. Who is responsible? I alone am responsible. Atmeiva hyatmano bandhu, atmeiva ripuratmanaha. My own mind is my best friend if I discipline it. My own mind becomes my worst enemy if I get attached to things, beings and situations. So this is how we end up in trouble. So what is the cause of problem? Raga. Not just raga, raga abhyasa. There is an abhyasa there. Abhyasa means what? Regular practice. Repetition, that is called abhyasa. Doing it again and again, that is called abhyasa. Raga abhyasa created all problems. So therefore, what should be the solution? Vairagya abhyasa. Isn't it? The door of entry itself is the door to exit. How did you land up in problem? Which gate have you taken? The very same gate is the exit. Only thing is, movement should be opposite. This is the way. Vairagya abhyasa is the way. Now the question is, how to develop vairagya? So the answer to this is, pay attention to the realities of life. The realities will never give you pain. It is only the illusion which will give you pain. The unreal things will give you pain. So therefore, what has to be done? Pay attention to the reality. If you pay attention to the reality, what is the truth about things, beings and situations? Worldly things and beings, it is impermanent. Anything which is impermanent, if I get attached to an impermanent thing, what will it give me? Can it give me permanent happiness? How can an impermanent thing give us permanent happiness? Not possible. Pay attention to that. Something is impermanent. Never get unhealthily attached to it. What about the situations in life? Every situation in life is uncertain. Can an uncertain thing give permanent happiness? Never. You don't know what is going to happen. If you connect your happiness with uncertain thing, there is possibility that you may not get it. So worldly things, worldly beings, worldly situations, worldly pleasures. What is the nature of this worldly pleasure? So pay attention. No. What is it? So what is the nature of worldly pleasure? Agre amrato amrato bhavam pariname vishamiva. It is the nature. In the beginning, it is like amrita, nectar. In the end, it is visham, poison. Junk food in the beginning, amrita. After eating, you see, pay attention. That's what you. You know why we are not able to come out of junk food? Even though we know that after eating I am going to have problem. You know why? You see, mind sees only the initial pleasure, but it is not able to see the final pain. Why it is not able to see the final pain? Because we have not paid attention to pain. This is the way mind has to be educated. So when junk food is eaten, in the beginning there is joy, but then there is heaviness and all those things. Never busy yourself with mobile phone or TV or something, because that is a general trend. Whenever there is some pain in the body, you want to distract the mind from the pain. You want to make the mind busy with something tickling, something enjoyable. Because this pain you don't want. So then what do? You take away the attention of the mind from the pain and busy yourself with entertainments of life. Then what happens? Mind has experienced joy, but it is not paying attention to pain. So finally, what will mind conclude? This object is a source of joy. So instead, when there is pain, allow the pain to sink in the mind. How to do it? Expose the mind, let the mind go through that pain. Oh dear mind, you cheated me in eating this. No, pay the price for it. There's a price to be paid. Okay. If there is disease, go through it. If there is pain, go through it. Let mind painfully be aware of the price it has to pay for sensual indulgence. The next time when that object comes, what will the mind remember? The joy of indulgence or pain after indulgence? You see, this is the way we have to educate our mind. It is exactly like educating our children. When the child is addicted to certain things, let the child go through the suffering course. Don't bypass that suffering. Let the child go through that suffering. And when the child goes through a suffering trap, see, you know why you are suffering? Because of this. In the future, if you do this again, you will have to suffer. Do you want it? Training the mind and training the child is similar. Just like child wants everything joyful, Mind also wants everything joy. Just like a child is childish, it's also childish. No thinking, no reason. It just wants immediate pleasure. So mind has been trained. Suppose a cow is there. You show green grass. The cow will come, it will eat. And when the cow eats, give a beating. The cow eats. Next time when you show the green grass, next day, will the cow come? Because it is not remembering the joy of eating, it is remembering the pain of eating. This is how we are used to. Whenever that pain is there, go through that pain and ask yourself, do we want to be in this situation again in the future? This pain is because of this attachment. This pain is because of this addiction. Do I want this pain again? If I don't want this pain again, then I'll have to do something to it. Called as Vairagya Abhyasa. But please understand one more thing. Vairagya should not make you bitter. That is very, very important. Many times what happens after listening to some satsang, especially the beginners, all these relationships, worldly relationships, they are impermanent. So then better I just be indifferent to these relationships. So then what happens? After satsang, this lady comes around. Swamiji, what have you done? This husband of mine, such a nice person, was looking after so well. After listening to your satsang, now he has become totally indifferent. So this is a wrong practice of right knowledge. Please remember, Vairagya is not something to be externally shown. It is something to be subjectively, internally known. Your Vairagya is not something which you have to show outside. No. What should you show outside? You should show that which is demanded by you. If somebody is expecting love from you, give love. Give affection. Give seva, whatever. Suppose your child wants to play with you with a teddy bear. What do you do? You have Vairagya towards teddy bear, but you don't show it, isn't it? When you are playing with a child, you play as though you are very much attached to the teddy. The child also will see, my father also is interested. Outside you are doing drama, internally you are absolutely unaffected, isn't it? This is the absolutely right way of practicing Vairagya. There are not people who are craving for love, craving for what you call recognition, respect, affection. Give them. You should come down to their level and give them whatever you want. This is called maturity in Vairagya. Immature people, they express Vairagya by showing their Vairagya. That is immaturity. You are at this level, but depending upon the person who is in front, you come down to their level. That freedom of coming down and still not getting affected by the lower, that is good. Escaping the lower is not Vairagya. Guruji used to say, Andar Rama, Bahar Rama. Andar, you are holding on to the law. You are in touch with the reality. You are very clear that all these things, they are impermanent. It will not be there today. I mean, tomorrow. It is there today. You are very clear. But while dealing with the world, you are dealing with your head. As Pujya Gurudev also said, while dealing with yourself, use your head. While dealing with others, use your heart.
all the different, different, you know, way of expressing this. By dealing with others, what is their situation according to you? Whereas by dealing with yourself, the knowledge should be made. So this is one aspect we have to be careful with regard to vairagya. Another aspect is also, just by practicing what you call just by paying attention to the outer pains of the world alone will not be sufficient. You have to simultaneously do something else. You see, mind wants happiness. On one side, you are saying that this world doesn't have happiness. But that is only a half story. If world doesn't have the source, it is not the source of happiness, then there is happiness. That also you must educate the mind. Otherwise, this technique will not work. Otherwise, this technique will degrade to suppression. And suppression is not the solution. Fine. The world of things, beings and situation, they don't have joy. Fine. But then there is joy. So then another thing has to be added. What is that? Bhakti abhyas. Viveka abhyas. Another abhyas has to be done. Bhakti means devotion for God. The true joy is in the self. True joy is at the feet of the Lord. That also has to be done. Because mind wants happiness. You have to give that joy to the mind only when the mind is exposed to the joy of the higher, only then it can leave the pleasures of the lower. Many, many times what happens in the name of sadhana, we are practicing leaving the lower, but we are not practicing holding on to the higher. And therefore, we always fail. Because the mind says, at least some pleasure I am getting from the lower. So you suppress, 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 and suddenly explodes in a very vulgar way. Especially the fasting time and all, you must. They fast. And the breaking of the fast is something. They end up eating much more. Because the senses are craving. The more and more you try to suppress the senses, the more and more it becomes. The rebels. What is the way? As you are practicing this sense control, simultaneously you must expose the mind to the higher joys, the higher joy of meditation, the higher joy of devotion, the higher joy of selfless service, of contemplation. As the mind experiences the joy of the higher, he is able to leave the lower. It is exactly like climbing a rope. What do you do while climbing a rope? You don't leave the lower first. You hold on to the higher, then leave the lower. Without holding on to the higher, if you leave the lower, then you will only fall. Hold on to the higher, then slowly leave the lower. So this way, if we can handle the mind, then we can practice vairagya. And once this is practiced, what is the sign that the mind is free from? What is the sign? The mind is peaceful. The mind comes out. Whatever subject you want, you are able to fix the mind easily. Whenever you want, you are able to withdraw the mind easily from that subject. You see? That freedom. The mind listens to you. The mind is peaceful. It's such a mind when you sit for meditation. How will the meditation be successful? But suppose the mind is filled with raga dvesha. What will happen? You may sit for meditation. The body is motionless, wonderful. Your asana is excellent. All these external things, people block the importance. Swamiji, what kind of seed I should prepare for meditation? Should I get a deer skin or a tiger skin? Swamiji, which Japamala? Ekamukhi, Dohukhi, Panchamukhi, which Mukhi? Whether Rudraksha is a must. All those things. Swamiji, which asana to sit? Padmasana, Vajrasana, which asana? All these aspects mean a lot of importance. But the most important thing, what is the most important thing? Vairagya Abhyas, Bhakti Abhyas. This we don't pay any attention. So comfortably seated in Jailajana Vushottaram, deer skin may doze off. If you have this inner discipline, you will find that lying down also you can meditate. It's not necessary that you know your backbone should be strengthened. You can lie down, but still the mind is at the law. If these qualifications are not there, then meditation is not there. You know, mind is blunt, it becomes fierce, never yet. So, intelligent living, intelligent transaction with the world is absolutely essential. We want meditation to bear results. What is the symptom that there is raga in the mind? What is it? How do you know? Where am I attached to? Oh. Just pay attention to the mind, where the mind is going. Mind will not go to just some stranger and all. Mind will always go towards such people whom are extremely attached, or such people whom you hate a lot. And the other always, you'll find that the mind is going again and again, again and again. That is where you have to do your homework. Where is my mind going again and again? Which worldly thing or being? If the mind is going again and again, then I have to work there. There is an unhealthy attachment. Why is it unhealthy? Every attachment is unhealthy. Why? Because attachment makes you forget God. No attachment can be justified. In the movies, etc., you may find they are glorifying attachment. But when it comes to spirituality, meditation, there are only two steps. Withdrawing the mind from the world, step number one. Attaching the mind to God, step number two. Detach, attach. What decides your ease of detachment? It is Vairagya. What determines your ease of attachment to God? It is Bhakti, it is Viveka. If there is devotion, mind is easily attracted to God. If there is dispassion, mind gets easily detached from the world. Person has this, these two virtues in good measure, to that extent meditation becomes more. It glides effortless. There is no difficulty at all. So this is the way we have to conquer our wild mind. Who made this mind wild? Our own unconscious, unintelligent living. So spirituality is conscious living. Spirituality is intelligent living. Moment to moment you are careful about your transaction. Or the way you think, the way you behave, the way you talk, everything is important because they are all creating samskaras. They are all creating impressions in the mind. So pay attention to all your transactions in life. Then you will find that the mind is slowly coming into your control. As the mind comes under your control, what is your experience? Peace or disturbance? Peace. There is a price to be paid for peace. For the external comfort, the price to be paid is in dollars. For the internal peace, the price to be paid is alert, vigilant living, consciously. And as you start experiencing this peace little by little, you are more and more inspired to put forth more and more effort. That peace itself becomes the source of inspiration for diving deep, for bringing more and more discipline into your life. Topic of today, let's hope. Tomorrow we will take up another talk. We will take up decision making. How to make right decisions in life. Jaya Jaya Rama. जय जय राम की राम रघुकुल भूषण राजा रघुकुल भूषण राजा जय जय राम तापस रंजन तारक दानव भंजन कोदंड राम जय जय राम श्रीराम जय राम जय जय राम श्रीराम जय राम जय जय राम श्रीराम श्रीराम जय राम जय जय राम श्रीराम जय राम जय जय राम श्रीराम जय जय राम राम जय राम राम हरि ओम।